President Obama lays out his plan to deal with the deficit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, we'll get a long-term deficit reduction plan from President Obama. You'll remember last week, we got a long-term plan from the Republican chairman of the House Budget Committee, Paul Ryan. That plan makes cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, but does not raise taxes. The president's proposal is also expected to include changes to entitlement programs and cuts to military spending, but it is expected to include tax increases. For more, let's go live to Mark Zandi, chief economist with Moody's Analytics. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, what will you be watching for in the president's speech today?
Specifics. You know, the president laid out a budget back in February, but it was very light on detail. I'm expecting a lot more information today about the spending cuts, tax increases that he plans to put forward to address our long-term fiscal problem. So I want some meat here.
And if you take what you're expecting from the president, what we're all expecting from the president, and what we've already seen from the Republican Paul Ryan's plan, where do you see the center of the debate heading when it comes to long-term budget changes?
You know, I think the center is pretty close to where the fiscal commission that reported out at the end of last year came out on this, and that would include some spending cuts, some entitlement reform, and some tax reform and tax increases. I think Congressman Ryan did shift the debate, however. His emphasis on Medicare and Medicaid probably means that more of the onus of the future budget cutting will be on those programs.
Mark Zandi, chief economist with Moody's Analytics. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, oil is trading around $106 a barrel in New York this morning. The national average for a gallon of gasoline is about $3.60. In other words, we're getting close to where we were with prices at the peak back in 2008. How are consumers reacting? Let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
So is there a difference between the way that consumers reacted to high gas prices back in 2008 and the way that they're reacting today?
It's a big difference. Back in 2008, we didn't really see a big drop-off in driving. We did see use of public transportation going up, but I don't think the roads were any less congested at that time, whereas now we're actually seeing gas sales going down. They're down for the past 5 weeks, and the indication is that as gas prices keep going up, consumers will keep stepping back.
And why is that happening this time?
I would say it's because the recession is still fresh in people's mind. The wounds are still fresh, and people remember what it's like to have a cash crunch. And so they're trying to get ahead of the curve by looking for ways to economize in advance. Now, it's interesting because retail sales are still up. People are not cutting back across the board, but they are cutting back on their driving.
So people are actually going to the stores more now, but they're spending less on gas.
Yeah, but it's a little more complicated. I think we can assume that people are carpooling. I think we can assume that people are using public transit more, but I think we also have more fuel-efficient vehicles on the road right now. Back in 2008, there were probably more Hummers and more Escalades and more things like that around. Now we're seeing a lot more hybrids on the loose. That also is having a big impact on gas sales.
People are actually going out and buying hybrids and Volts and all that stuff?
They are doing that, and yet public transportation is a very strong going concern, and I think this is a real opportunity for transit operators around the country to try and offer an alternative to driving that is realistic and practical and convenient, and yet transit operators nationwide are cutting back on service even as gas prices head north.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up this morning in Europe and Asia, more than 1% higher right now in Germany. JP Morgan Chase beat Wall Street expectations this morning when it reported it made $5.5 billion in profit last quarter. That's because the bank isn't putting as much aside to cover for consumers who aren't paying back their credit card debt. We're expecting an announcement this morning from American Express that it will be the lead investor in a startup called Payphone. The company wants to make money by allowing consumers to pay for things using their mobile phone numbers. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 117 points to close at 12,263.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. and by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
To TV land now, Katie Couric is appearing this morning in her former home. She's promoting a new book in an interview with Matt Lauer on NBC's Today Show. There are rumors the two will launch a new syndicated talk show together. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins tells us it's all part of a bigger story about the coming vacancy network TV still has to fill.
It's Oprah. With Winfrey off to her cable channel, around 7 million viewers suddenly need a place to go, a place where advertisers will pay millions to reach them.
There is a chance for anything, really, to fill the vacuum.
Marty Kaplan is a media professor at the University of Southern California.
Katie Couric and Matt Lauer, in principle, could be that sexy thing that's exactly the right thing to lead into the local news.
The gamble would be that the duo could deliver enough viewers to offset their sizable salaries. Toby Miller is a professor of popular culture at the University of California, Riverside.
There's no doubt in my mind that teamed up again, they could bring back people in their mid-30s to daytime afternoon television and then perhaps perk them up for something later in the evening.
But right now, the Couric and Lauer program is still much more of a soap opera than it is a talk show. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, to the well-known floor of the New York Stock Exchange, which, thanks to computerized trading, is becoming less trading floor and more TV set every day. Well, now the NYSE is renovating so it can be more attractive to party planners. It wants to double the number of events that are held there to around 1,000 a year. It appears the market has spoken, and it wants to trade in blue chips for chips and dip. Well, if you are still interested in the financial side of Wall Street, you should check out our new Wall Street blog by our New York bureau chief, Heidi Moore. It's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Online poker is illegal in this country. Still, last year, Americans collectively bet billions of dollars on the web. Turns out, though, the odds are against us.
There's been a tremendous progress, and actually, in heads-up limit Texas Hold'em, the best bots have surpassed the best professional human players.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Poker-playing robots raise the stakes online. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.